Good to be in God's house. 44 says, come unto me. Let's stand and sing it together. It's a beautiful old song.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Oh, ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly, come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Are you disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? New unholy feelings struggle in your breast. Bring your case to Jesus, he will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly, come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Have you by temptation often conquered been? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if your claim is best. In the Holy Spirit he will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly, come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy and my burden's light.
Be seated. What a beautiful song. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Amen. Who's got a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Anybody in the house? Yes, Miss Brenda. Please remember that. Anybody else tonight? Yes. Okay. Anybody else tonight? John? Okay, John. Lynn? Linda's brother. Yes. Okay, Pam family. Let's just remember each other, you know. We'll have church tonight, and then we'll leave, and we'll start another day tomorrow. And Satan will jump all over you, before you start your day. Yes. Mm-hmm. I knew that. I went to school with him. It's very sad. Remember that family. All right, Brother Tom, you bless our offering.
Father, so thankful that you allow us to come back tonight. Lord, so glad for the truth of the song that we just sang. Lord, if only those that are lost would come unto you, they'll find restoration. They'll find forgiveness for their sins. Lord, they'll have a promise of eternal life. Thank you for that. Now, Father, I ask your anointing upon the song tonight. Ask your anointing upon the message that we might hear from you, that you might get all the glory, all the praise, all the honor you give as we worship you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Fire him. But everybody deserves a second chance. Amen. All right. 139. We're going to sing one more, and Amy's going to come and share a song with us. And then Nick's going to bring us the Word of God tonight.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary.
That's beautiful. Come on, Miss Amy.
That's track two. That's not so. See, we were need to stop it anyway because that girl was singing. Choir, I told you all that that song we're going to sing in a couple of weeks is track three, and it is for everybody unless you have a lead or soprano CD. And then I can't tell you what track number it is. It's just one of them. So keep clicking forward until you hear it. Okay. Everybody else, it's track three though. Altos, tenors. Right now I'm on two, not three. Okay, very confusing.
On the days we need him. We need him every hour of every day, all the time. Isn't it amazing how quickly things can change, good or bad? We can be going along thinking things are just absolutely wonderful, and within the hour, not so. Or just the opposite. They can be going as bad as they can get. And somebody gets in touch with God in your favor. And God looks down and he can change it like that. Thank God for prayer. And thank God that he's here to be all of that to every one of us, every hour of every day. Had a good service this morning. Brother Nick gave a wonderful message today, right straight from the throne of God. And I knew that lives were touched during this service. Come on, Nick.
Brought your Bibles, and we're going to pick up where we left off, Genesis chapter 28, and we're going to pick up at verse 17. Now, my grandfather's here tonight, and I told you all this morning, I gave you the illustration of him driving in Florida when we was going to Disney World and going around the same exit ramp three times in a row, and and Keith's here tonight. Keith's one of my best friends, a fellow Christian and a former work friend, and love him very much and appreciate him. But neither one of them was here this morning, so we're just going to have to restart. Okay? You got notes? You can just give them the notes, all right? Okay. I got all excited, choir practice. Tonight was the first time in choir practice that the choir director, leader, whatever you want to call him, in my years of singing in a choir, that's the first time I've ever got my name mentioned in the choir. And Amy told me to sing with Les and Dan. And at first I took that as a compliment. I was like, man, that's awesome. And then when she continued, she said, it's the ladies' part, just an octave lower. So then I was like, I don't know if that's a compliment or not. All right, but really, really appreciate choir practice. And I'm glad that when we have choir practice, not only do you learn and you sing, and you want to do the very best you can, but I'm also glad there's a lot of laughing going on up there too. It just shows good fellowship and a good, healthy church. So Genesis chapter 28, going to start in verse 17. And you all be very much in prayer for this tonight. The kids have been a handful since last night and all day today. And, you know, they get here and they walk in and they got those cute little smiles and all that. And then you get in the car and then, you know, it all breaks loose. But they've if anybody want to take them tonight, I'd probably let you have them for free tonight, okay? So they are available tonight, all right? Genesis chapter 28, starting at verse 17. And now this is right after Jacob woke up from the dream that God had given him about the staircase coming down from heaven. And we went through that this morning about how God was going to take care of Jacob and how God had made the same promise to Jacob that He had made to Abraham and how He had made the same promise to Isaac. And in verse 15 He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to keep you in all places. I'm going to bring you back to this place again, and I'm not going to leave you. And then Jacob awoke up out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. So Jacob has woke up from this dream, and he's had this experience with God through this dream, seeing God, seeing this heavenly staircase stretching from heaven down the earth, and seeing the angels walking up and down this staircase, ascending and descending up and down that staircase. So now we're going to take a look at what Jacob does when he wakes up from this dream. And you've got to remember this, and then I promise we'll get into what God's laid on our hearts and minds tonight. Remember what Jacob was. He was a liar. He was a deceiver. He had got his way through lies and tricks and things like that. Tricking his brother and tricking his dad who was dying and who was blind. But now we're going to look at the change after this dream that Jacob has in his heart, that Jacob has in his mind. Listen, when you have an encounter with God, and I know Jacob had this encounter with God through a dream, but when we have an encounter with God, there is a change that takes place. It is impossible to meet God and a change not take place. That's how powerful, that's how mighty, that's how great that God is. And one thing I want to say about this that I left out this morning was Jacob, when he went to sleep that night, he had no idea that God was going to come down and meet him and be with him. And listen, I'm thankful for the times that we can go and meet God. I'm thankful for the times that we can come out to God's house and meet God and meet our fellow Christians in the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes in life, you get to the place and point where God just needs to come down and meet you. And praise God, I'm thankful that He does that. People laying in a hospital bed, they can't do a whole lot, but you know what? God comes down and meets them. People laid up in a nursing home that can't be out, and to me, that's one of the saddest situations to be in. Living in a nursing home. I don't care how much you go by and see those that you love in a nursing home. It's just a lonely place to be because it's not the same place of home. But I like to think tonight that those saints of God that are laid up in the nursing homes, not only here in Johnson City, but all around East Tennessee and all around the United States and all around the world, places that have nursing homes, I believe God just comes down and meets with them sometime, hallelujah, so that they can have a good time in that nursing home. So Jacob has just got done saying, surely the Lord is in this place. Jacob, God has come down and met Jacob. So we find here in verse 17, Jacob's reaction to what's going on. The first thing that we find in verse 17 of chapter 28, the Bible says, and he was afraid. No doubt he was afraid. As we told you earlier, we told you the life that Jacob was living and the type of person that he was. So no doubt in this dream when he has this encounter with God, he is afraid. Let me tell you something tonight. There's nothing wrong with being afraid of God. There's nothing wrong with being scared of God. Listen, there was a place and point in my life when I was scared to death of God, because when I saw His holiness and when I saw His greatness, I saw how small that I was. Well, through this dream and through this vision that Jacob has, he sees how small that he is. Yes, he may have tricked his way into getting the family birthright and things like that, but compared to God, Jacob was a nothing. Jacob was a nobody. Listen, us tonight, when we compare ourselves to God, we are a nothing and we are a nobody. But praise God, when Jesus Christ is living inside of us, God not only sees us as the human beings walking upon this earth, but praise God, He sees us as the blood-bought Christian, His children, hallelujah. And not only does He see us as who we used to be, but when He sees the blood applied to our lives, praise God, He sees somebody that's worthy of heaven, hallelujah. And how thankful that we all can be for that. And you know, I hear people say all the time, you know, they'll be down in the dumps about themselves and they'll be saved and they're Christians and they've asked for forgiveness and God has forgiven, but they can't just let the past go. Listen, that's the devil tonight. The devil does not want you to let your past go. The devil does not want you to let your past action go. Listen, the Bible says that when we repent and when we ask for forgiveness, God casts it away as far as the east is from the west. That means that it cannot be measured. So praise God, stop measuring yourself whether or not you deserve to be in the presence of God, because if you do, by man's law, you don't. But praise God, are you not glad that the blood cries out for you? Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus cries out for you. Praise God, when I stand before God, whether it be through the rapture or whether it be when I die, I'm not going to say a word. Why? Because there's not a word that I can say before God. But hallelujah, I'll let Jesus do the talking for me. I'll let the blood do the talking for me. I'll plead the blood, praise God. I'm not going to plead the fifth, praise God. I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus, hallelujah. But that's something that's missing in the day and the time that we're living in, a humble respect, a humbling respect and fear of God. Churches need a humbling respect and a fear of God. Us as Christians, we need a humbling respect and a fear of God. And this goes back to kind of what we talked on a little bit this morning. You look at how the world is acting, ain't nobody fears and respects God no more. It's just gone. But praise God, I'm glad that we do tonight. I'm glad that the fear of God and the respect of God humbles us. And then you look at that in verse 17, the Bible says, and said, how dreadful is this place. Now that doesn't mean this place was awful or this place was dreadful. I hope when you all left church this morning you didn't say, man, this was a dreadful place this morning. I hope none of you said that. I hope you all enjoyed yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ, because surely the Lord was in this place this morning. Okay? That's not what he meant. That's not what Jacob means when he says dreadful right here. What Jacob is saying right here is, how awesome is this place? How awesome is this place? I remember the first time that I went to Neyland Stadium to watch a football game. Lene took me, and I've got a confession to make. Before I was a Tennessee fan, I was a Notre Dame fan. And that makes no sense. I just didn't know any better. Okay, I knew I didn't like Florida. Rusty's not here tonight, so he didn't hear that. I knew I didn't like Florida, and I was a Notre Dame fan. Well, praise the Lord, God put Lene in my life, and I went to Neyland Stadium. 102,000 people there, and they were playing like UT Martin, a team that didn't have a chance to beat them. And this wasn't when Tennessee was good. This was the Derek Dooley era. So anybody that's a Tennessee fan, you know what Tennessee was going through at that point in time. And son, I fell in love with that place. And I came out, and ever since then, I sang Rocky Top every day, hallelujah. All right, Lene helped convert me into a Tennessee fan, because that place, to me, that place was awesome. There was no place that could compare to Neyland Stadium. I told y'all this morning I was a Cubs fan, and Dad took me up to Wrigley Field one time in Chicago, and to me, that place was awesome. It was just an awesome place to be. Well, Jacob just got to be in an awesome place. He was in the presence of God through a dream, through a vision that he had. He was in the presence of angels through a dream, through a vision that he has had. So not only did it scare him to where it humbled himself down, but he also was in an awesome place. I want to tell you something tonight, praise God. Being in the presence of God is being in an awesome place. People will say, well, I want to be in the presence of a rock star, and I want to be in the presence of a famous actor, and I want to be in the presence of Taylor Swift or somebody like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with spending our hard-working money to go and get entertained. I'll go to a ball game or two this year down in Knoxville. There's not anything wrong with that. But I want to tell you right now, bless God, being in God's house is a lot more awesome than being at the ball field. Being in God's house is a lot more awesome than being at work. And I know things come up and we got to work. I said that this morning. I know things come up in life and we get sick and we can't be at God's house. We got vacations. I understand that. And I get all that. Me and my family will be on vacation in October. But I can assure you of one thing. Sunday while I'm on vacation, I'm going to miss this place. Why? Because it's awesome. And it's not the walls that make it awesome. It's not the lights that make it awesome. It's not the singing that makes it awesome. It's not the preaching that makes it awesome. Bless God, it's the presence of God that makes it awesome. This place is awesome, hallelujah. Surely the Lord is in this place, praise God. He's not in the walls. He's not in the ceiling. He's not in the light. But bless God, He's in each and every one of us, hallelujah. And praise God, when we come to church, hallelujah, we've brought Him with us, praise God. People say, when I get to church, I'm going to meet God. Listen, if he ain't living inside of you, you ain't going to meet Him anyway. Hallelujah. We brought Him with us, bless God. How dreadful is this place? How awesome is this place? And then he goes on to say, man, I love this, verse 17. This is none other but the house of God. He's in a wilderness. On a 500-mile journey. He ain't in some fancy temple. He ain't in some fancy church. I've been in some beautiful churches. I've been in some beautiful Catholic church up in New York City. I can't remember the name of it. It was an absolutely beautiful church. I was in a beautiful Methodist church, I believe it was, up in Pennsylvania that was made out of all rock. And they had a beautiful organ, the pipes going up and things like that. Man, it was absolutely astounding and it was absolutely beautiful. But I want to tell you right now, bless God, you can have the best looking walls and the best looking paint and the best looking carpet and the best looking lights and the best looking sound system, and you can even have the best looking pastor like we have in Pastor Dan. But I'll tell you right now, if the Holy Spirit ain't there, I don't want no part of it. If the presence of God is not there, I don't want any part of it. Bless God, Jacob's having church. He's having church right here in the wilderness, and they ain't no deacons there. There ain't no special musicians there or anything like that. It's just Jacob and God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All you need to have church is yourself and God. Now, I'm thankful we got all this other stuff too, but praise God, all you need is yourself and God, and you can have a good service. He was afraid, and how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And we'll get to that in a second. And this is the gate of heaven, referring back to that vision, that dream that he had. Verse 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning. I don't know how many times you'll find that phrase in God's holy word, and so rose up early in the morning, but I know that it's in there a lot. I know if you'll read God's holy word and you go through several stories in your mind tonight, and I didn't have time to jot them down or anything like that, but that phrase is in there a lot. Rose up early in the morning. Man alive, let's not sleep our days away. Hallelujah. But let's rise up early in the morning. You thought about this? The earlier that you get up, the more time that gives you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ before you go back to sleep. Now, I used to be a morning person, and now I'm not. I could sleep if the kids would let me. I could sleep till 8:30, 9 o'clock. And I used to be able to get up at 6, 6:30, didn't even need an alarm clock. I don't know what's happened. I guess age, I guess gaining some weight, maybe being a dad. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I could just sleep forever. But I want to tell you something tonight, praise God. There's nothing wrong with getting up early and starting your day in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you want to have a good day, start your day with Jesus. And I guarantee you, you're going to have a pretty good day. All right, verse 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had used for his pillows. Now, God is not telling Jacob to do this. Jacob is doing this on his own. Now, you'll read later on in chapter 35 when Jacob comes back to Bethel, God tells him to build an altar. But God is not telling Jacob to build an altar right here in this moment. Jacob has taken this of himself. This tells you the type of life-changing experience that Jacob has had. Somebody that has thought only of himself his entire life, somebody that has thought only of himself climbing the ladder of success his entire life, now he has put himself to the side and he's woke up early in the morning and he's going to do something for God. Hallelujah. Bless God, every day that we get to breathe, every day that we get to open our eyes, every day that we can take a step, let's do all that we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I can assure you of this tonight, Jesus Christ left it all on the battlefield for you and I. And praise God, the very least that we can do is leave it all on the battlefield for Him tonight. Amen. Let's do all that we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jacob takes this stone that he had used for a pillow for his night of rest, and now he's going to put it up for his pillows, and he is going to set it up for a pillar. So basically what Jacob is doing right here is he is setting up a monument, and later he's going to come back and build an altar, but he is setting up a monument in the place where he met God as a remembrance. Hey, this is where that I met God. This is where I had this experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He never wanted to forget what God had done for him right here in this dream and right here in this vision. Bless God, don't ever let us forget what God has done for us. Don't let us forget that time that God brought us out of the hospitals. Don't let us forget that time that God was with us when we had surgery. Don't let us forget the times that God was with us when a family member passed away. Don't let us forget the times when we were in dire need and the only thing that we could do was get on our hands and knees and pray to the living God. And before you know it, God comes a-knocking, answering those prayers. Hallelujah. Let us not forget how good that God has been to us. Let us never forget that. I know life is busy. I know life is hectic. And I know things come up. And I know a lot of times it's easier to ask God for things than it is to thank God for things. I find myself doing that sometimes. Asking and asking and asking and asking. But praise God, I always take a few moments out of your day just to lift your hands and praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and saying, God, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my grandchildren. Thank you for allowing me to see today. Thank you for allowing me to walk today. Thank you for allowing me to go to work today. Thank you for giving me the money to fill up my car. Thank you for giving me the money to be able to pay the bills. Thank you for giving me a godly husband. Thank you for giving me a godly wife. And before you know it, hallelujah, you're going to be like Moses, praise God, when he walked in on the burning bush, taking your sandals off. You're going to be on holy ground, praise God. Why? Because you're in the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. Always take time to thank God for what He's done. I love this right here. Jacob using a pillow to go to sleep on. And then he's using a stone to go to sleep on. And then he's taking this stone and he's setting it up as a monument. Then I got to thinking about a stone tonight and how important that chief cornerstone is. Man alive, if you don't have that chief cornerstone in your life tonight, you're living upon the sands of life. And when the storms come and when the wind blows, you're falling down. Your house is falling down. But praise God, when your house is built on that solid rock, that chief cornerstone, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the storm will come and it'll still be standing. The winds will blow and it will still be standing. The flood waters may get in, but it'll still be floating. Praise God this morning. I'm thankful for the chief cornerstone that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus said when He was talking to the disciples and He was talking to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. He wasn't referring to Peter as being that rock. What happened was Peter had came to the realization that Jesus Christ is the rock, hallelujah, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Bless God tonight, hallelujah. The devil can turn loose all that hell has, but praise God, God's already won. Amen. The gates of hell will not prevail, praise God. Everything can be going on outside in the world. Murders can be going on. Terrible crimes can be going on. The world can be changing. The world can be conforming to the devil. But bless God, we're standing on the chief cornerstone, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thankful for that tonight. Yes. I love that stone tonight. I love the chief cornerstone. He set it up for a pillar. He set it up for a monument. And poured oil upon the top of it. Took some oil that he had. I don't know what he was going to use this oil for. I don't know if he was going to, I guess he didn't use all of it, because the Bible says that he didn't use all of it. Oil was used back in biblical times to put it on scratches and things like that for healing purposes. We know that oil is used for cooking. I love it when Lene's in the kitchen and I see her get that oil out. Man, I get excited. I get excited when I see the butter come out too, man. Baptize that fried chicken in some butter and you've got some good eating. Mashed potatoes, man alive, I love it. Yeah. Anthony, I mean, you can go eat after church if you want to, okay? Are you buying? Okay. All right, that sounds good. It's just me and Anthony. Nobody else can come. By the way, Tom's buying next fellowship meet, just so everybody remembers that. All right. We're talking about butter, right? You know, this is crazy getting off topic a little bit. I don't see how people can eat anything without butter. Mashed potatoes or anything, it just don't make any sense. All right, back on topic. And poured oil on top of it. So he set up this stone, and now the oil that he has taken with him on his journey, he's pouring oil on top of this stone. Now, what is so significant about Jacob pouring oil on top of this stone? You know, Jacob didn't have time to build a massive altar. God's going to tell him to go back and build that altar, like we said in chapter 35. You can go and read that this week if you want to. And also read the other verses too, or the other chapters. Read 29 through 34 and get you to 35. You'll see that every promise that God made Jacob, God kept. I encourage you to read that. And I know we said that this morning, but I want to say it again tonight. Every promise that God has made us, bless God, he's going to keep every single one of them. And how thankful that we all can be for that. But why did he pour oil on this stone? Well, he was anointing that stone. He was dedicating that stone. He was setting up that stone as a consecration. Now, what is a consecration? An act of consecration is this: the action of making or declaring something sacred. You know, when a minister, you know, the first thing they do is get their license. Then they get ordained. And during the ordination part of that service, the minister that's doing the ordaining, they'll get maybe the ordaining council to come around, or other preachers and pastors to come around, and they will anoint that minister with oil. Now, that does not mean that that's anything special about that minister or anything like that. But what is special about that is what they're going to be doing. They're going to be doing a holy work, a holy duty for the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching and ministering and things like that. And that's why they get anointed before the King of England. I forgot his name. But if you watch any, what's his name? King Charles. If you watched any of his coronation service, you will find a point in that coronation service where he gets anointed for oil, because they look at that as a sacred symbol of him becoming the King of England. Anybody that becomes King or Queen of England, they go through a coronation service. And that's what that is: the action of making or declaring something sacred. Well, I want to tell you something tonight. Jacob has been at a sacred place. He's had this experience with God. It has changed who he is, and he's still going to make mistakes as you lead later on through here. He's still going to mess up just like all of us. Okay? But Jacob's recognized the significance of where he has been, and he dedicates, or he anoints this rock as it being a place of holy ground, as it being a place that is extremely sacred. Then I got to thinking tonight. I got saved in my mom and dad's bedroom. I woke up one night, God was dealing with me, conviction was dealing with me. I didn't get saved at the church. I didn't get saved at an old-fashioned altar. I got saved in my mom and dad's bedroom. You know why? Surely the Lord is in this place. You don't have to get saved at an old-fashioned altar. I love that analogy. Somebody coming down to an old-fashioned altar and giving their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. But I want to tell you right now, God is so powerful and God is so great, and His presence can go anywhere. People can get saved in a vehicle. People can get saved in a hospital. People can get saved in a rehab center and things like that. My place just happened to be my mom and dad's bedroom. I went down there. I said, Mom and Dad, I want to get saved. And they prayed with me, and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And from that moment on, praise God, that was holy ground. It wasn't the fact it was my mom and dad's room that it was holy. It wasn't the fact that it was the home that made me holy, but praise God, it was the fact that I met God and God met me and my needs were met, hallelujah, by the living God. That was such a sacred place for me, still is. I could take you to the exact place. I couldn't tell you the date, I couldn't tell you the hour, I couldn't tell you the second, but I could take you and kneel down exactly where I kneel down at. And to me, that's a sacred place because that's where God met me. I want you to know something tonight. The place where you met the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that is sacred ground. That is a holy place. Not because of you, but because of God tonight. And then I got to thinking about God's house, and we're going to see here later on that Jacob names this place Bethel, meaning, what does Bethel mean? Anybody know? The house of God. And that got me to thinking about that. I'll tell you right now, the house of God is a sacred place. It is an important place in the community. It is an important place in each and every one of our lives. And it hurts me to see people not respect the house of God. It hurts me to see people not respect what goes on inside these walls. And I'm not talking about anything here or anything like that, but just this is just something, an example of things that happen up in my end of the world. There's a church up the head of Stony Creek. It seems like they have a yearly problem with some nut, and I'm going to call them a nut, with some nut going into their parking lot and just doing donuts all in their parking lot and doing donuts all in their field. Listen, yeah, it might not seem like much, but to me, that's a sacred place. Shouldn't be disrespected in that way. Of course, you know, y'all know I'm from Carter County, so anything goes up there. Eventually, I'm going to get done saying I'm from Carter County, okay? There was a thing that went through up there a couple years ago. People were stealing catalytic converters off church vans and selling them to make money on them. Man, to me, that's sad and that's pitiful. But I want to tell you something. Let us never take for granted God's house and how precious that it is and how important that it is to each and every one of us. Not because that we're here, not because that we've got on suits or dresses or a fancy hairdo or a new dress or anything like that, but praise God, what makes this sacred, what makes this place holy is the presence of who is here, and that is God Himself. And how thankful that we should be, praise God, that we have a church that we can come to tonight that's in the presence of God. How great that is. So we look at this, and He poured oil upon the top of it. He was anointing it. And then that gets us to verse 19. And He called the name of that place Bethel. That means house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. So Jacob gives this place the name Bethel, the house of God. And we've already talked about that, so I'm just going to continue on. So let's get to verse 20 here. Jacob makes a vow with God. Now what is a vow? A vow is a promise. You do wedding vows, you know, you do wedding vows, and you make promises to each other as husbands and as wife. I've got to share this on my grandfather. He's here tonight, so I've got to share this on him. Okay? I can't remember whose wedding it was that he was doing, and he's been known to get tongue-tied from time to time. So I don't care to share this. But the vow says in sickness and in health. Well, he said in sickness and in hell. Make that vow. So I thought I never will forget that moment, okay? All right. And Jacob is making a vow right here. I hope that was okay to share that. I felt comfortable sharing it. Verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, he's making a promise to God right here. Now, when you first read this, you might think, well, why in the world would Jacob say it like this? But you got to take it into complete context. If God will be with me and will keep me in this way, again, this is his first time away from home. This is his first time away from his family. So he's making a promise to God. He's saying, God, if you'll be with me, this is verse 20, if you'll keep me in this way, if you'll protect me, and if you'll give me bread to eat, if you'll feed me, and raiment to put on, if you'll give me clothes, God, so that I come again into my father's house again, so that I can come back home, I'm having to flee because my brother Esau wants to kill me. But God, if you'll do this, then shall the Lord be my God. Well, I want to do something tonight. I'm going to reread this vow. And every time I read a part of this, if God has done this for you, I want you to say amen. If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. God's done that for 100% of us tonight. What does the Bible say? Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your shelter. I take care of the birds of the air. And if I take care of the birds of the air, bless God, I'm going to take care of my children. Hallelujah. Praise God tonight. How thankful that we all can be for that. So that verse 21, so that I come again into my father's house in peace. In other words, not only do I want to go back home, but I want to go back home and there be peace. I don't want my brother trying to kill me, God. Whew. I'll go back again to this tonight. We talked about this morning. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, peace was gone. But praise God, there's going to be a day come where we'll be able to return to Eden again, and it's going to be mighty peaceful. Hallelujah. How thankful that we all can be for that. Then shall the Lord be my God. Now you might read that and you think, well, Jacob's saying, well, God, you're going to have to do all these things before I'm going to have faith and before I'm going to believe in you. Listen, Jacob wouldn't have said any of this stuff if he doubted God. Jacob wouldn't have said, God, will you do this? God, will you do that? God, will you be able to do this? God, will you be able to do that? He had no doubt that God was going to do every single bit of this. You know what one of the greatest tools that the devil loves to use on Christians? That is doubt. He loves for a Christian, he loves for a child of God to doubt. Well, I want to tell you something tonight as a child of God. You believe in a Savior you've not seen. You believe in a resurrection you never saw. You believe in a place that's called heaven that you've never seen with your natural eyes. You believe that Jesus Christ is coming back to get us one day. You've not seen it with your natural eyes. You believe in a lot of things already that you've not seen in your natural eyes. So praise God, when the devil comes around and starts getting you doubting, just remind him of those things. Hey, I didn't see any of this, but you know what, Satan? I believe every bit of it. Hallelujah. How thankful that we all can be for that. In verse 22, and this stone which I have set for a pillar. He knew he was going to come back and he knew he was going to build a better altar for God. Shall be God's house. Sacred, holy. And of all that shall give me. He knew God was going to bless him. He knew God was going to allow him to prosper. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. So God, I'm going to take the blessing that you're giving me and I'm going to give back to you. Let us always take the blessings that God gives us and give them back to Him. Let's not hog it up for ourselves. Let's not use it up for ourselves. And you might say, well, preacher, I can't give a tenth. I want to tell you something right now. It all goes back to the heart too. If somebody wrote a $1 million check for this church but their heart wasn't in it, give me the person whose heart was in it that put $10 in the offering plate. Hallelujah. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You can give and give and give all you want to the Lord, but I tell you right now, if your heart ain't in it for the right reason, if you're just doing it to edify yourself, if you're just doing it to glorify yourself, you ain't giving no blessing back to God. You're doing it all for your honor and for your glory and for your honor. But praise God, when God blesses us and we give back to Him, praise God, we're not doing it for our honor. We're doing it because of what this sign says right here. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, praise God. That's why we give back to Him. So I hope y'all got something from that tonight. If you got anything from it, remember, Bethel is the house of God. Liberty Fellowship is the house of God that God has given us. And it is a sacred and it is a holy place. Let's treat it that way. Why? Because God's presence is here. And surely the Lord is in this place. All right? Let's stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. I appreciate Pastor Dan giving me this opportunity to share the word tonight. Don't forget Wednesday.